How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
If you're looking for more support and guidance, go join the How Not to Suck a Divorce community over on Facebook and our private Patreon channel. Links to both of those in our show notes.
This is the only divorce podcast that's one part family law attorney and one part recovering comedian. We are dedicated to bringing you action steps, empathy, and a healthy side of snark. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
You know, the best part about getting divorced is having the ability to write the next chapter in your life.
Ooh, I love that. And I'll add that I tell my clients all the time that setting yourself up for success in your next chapter is key to living your best life.
Girl, facts. And guys, you know your girls, Andrea and Morgan, we're always going to give you pro tips on how you cannot suck at getting divorced, which brings us to our family wizard.
Friends, hear me on this. Our family wizard is not just for couples going through a high conflict divorce.
No, it's for anyone who wants to be more organized with expenses, kids' activities, calendar requests, and messaging.
We recently co-wrote a special article for Our Family Wizard that gives you tips on how best to communicate with your challenging co-parent and come out on top.
And to get access to this article written just for you listeners, go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck.
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are ya?
Clearly better than the last few times we were recorded. I mean, I'm coming back to life.
Girl, oh my God. The last episode, we sounded like we were knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. I mean, we were both so sick. And I love that we just were like, we're fine. We're just going to record. And then listening to that episode, we're both like, anyway, so...
That's why I didn't listen to it, because I'm afraid of how bad we sounded. You know, like when you don't feel good, but you're like, I must not sound that bad. Like, we're good. We're good. No, we were that bad.
It was really bad. Yeah. I mean, I hope that other people didn't listen to that and think, like, are they not okay? Because, you know, we weren't. But that's how dedicated we are.
Yeah, you're right.
To this show, to these people. But we're better now.
We are. Right? I'm so excited, too, because I have your most hated thing coming up and one of my most favorite things. I have a girls trip next week, so I need to be like fresh and ready to go over my COVID. Okay. And here we are.
Mm-hmm. Right. And here we are. I'm very happy to know that you are going on a girls trip, and I am even happier that I am not.
I know.
So I know, but I think that's great. Look, we're living our lives. We're doing all the things. I've got good stuff, exciting stuff going on. Doesn't involve a girls trip. But I think we're, you know, things are happening. I think we're moving in a really good direction in our lives. And hey, good for us, right? things are on the up and up.
Hey, gotta be happy with something like that, you know? So we'll take it.
Oh, Lord. So what about people who aren't on the up and up yet, right? I mean, I feel like our listeners are like, okay, good for you bitches. Like, enough about your lives.
And
we're
also
in the middle of a goddamn divorce.
Right. We're on the up and up this hour. So don't worry, listeners.
Just wait. Just wait. But today we're talking about, truthfully, one of the least favorite, not that there is a favorite part of getting divorced, but I would say the ickiest part of divorce, and one of the parts that is the most stressful, and some of the questions that we get the most often is about custody. Mm-hmm. How the hell do you know what the right situation is going to be? What if you want something that's not the default in your state? How do you even start that process? How do you know if that's even something that you can get? So we have a whole episode for you right now dedicated to just custody.
That's right. And I want to start out with something you should not do. We're going to jump into all sorts of custody or parenting time or whatever you call it in your state. But one thing you should not do is rush in this department because it feels icky and you want it done. And I am reminded to tell everybody that because recently I just had a client do exactly that. Client came to me, the client said basically, I do not feel comfortable with my children having really much time at all with my ex. And to which I said, well, let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's think about what has happened and then let's talk about it. And then 3 days later, that client came back to me and said, I'm negotiating with my ex, which again, not always the best option to do without attorney assistance, and said, and now I agree for 50-50. And I was like, what? Whoa, what are we talking about? This is an about face. And then I kid you not, one day later, buyer's remorse. What did I just do? Can I back out of this? That kind of thing. So do not rush, okay? That's number one. Don't rush into some kind of decision here.
I think that that's hard for a lot of people because it is something that comes up pretty early on in the divorce process. And so I think that, and we talked about this in the last episode, a lot of people feel like as soon as someone files and the other person files, it's like that, you know, boom, off to the races, right? And you think like, I got to get this done. I have to get this done. This is due. Financial affidavit, parenting agreement, you know, all these things. And I mean, God, I remember I certainly felt like there was a lot of pressure to get something in immediately. And I've talked about it plenty of times about how many mistakes I made in my parenting plan, which I was fortunate that I had enough life changes 2 years later that I was able to redo it. But that is tough to do. Mm-hmm. So you really want to take your time here. So why don't we start with what's most common, just to kind of get that part out of the way. So in most states, most areas, what's the default and how is that decided?
Well, so that's one thing I don't know, because I don't know every other state. I know what Illinois does. I am familiar with some of the other states' laws, et cetera. But I do want you to know that it really depends also on your judges and how they feel about parenting time and custody. And I'll give you an example. For instance, where I am in the city of Chicago, they're pretty liberal with parenting time, meaning they are so totally okay with a 50-50 schedule. That does not shock them. That is something that if it works, the judges are open to it. Whereas some of the other counties outside of where I am, the judges do not start or even think really about a 50-50 schedule. So you have to know, and that's one of the questions that you want to ask your attorney right off the bat. What happens generally? What does it look like where we are? And what's, you know, the acceptable schedule? I always joke with my clients a little bit because I want to set standards. And I always say, we call it the bad mom, bad dad schedule. That's like in my area, probably the worst schedule you can get, as long as you don't have a substance abuse problem. You don't have a problem with, you know, physical violence or mental health, some serious issues. That would be an every other weekend and maybe a dinner or an overnight during the week. So in our mind, or where I am, that's kind of like the worst they can do, your ex. So I just want to give people kind of a baseline of where people start. But really, what we're talking about tonight, Andrea, is this 50-50 custody scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're talking about it is because it just continues to come up almost day after day. And it seems like in almost every case that I'm dealing with, whether it warrants it or not, everyone's starting at a 50-50. And then it's like a negotiation backwards rather than going up to a 50-50. So Andrea and I thought this was the perfect topic to try to tackle tonight.
So, okay. So let's say that you do live in an area where 50-50 is the default, right? And unless there's like a circumstance that would justify another arrangement, you're looking at 50-50. So that means 50% with dad, 50% of the time with mom. Now, I know that where we live, overnights are a big thing.
Yes.
They lean heavier. It's not so much on hours. It's really they count things by overnights. Is that common or is that just something fun that goes on here?
I wouldn't say it's common, and I'm going to get to that. And I don't like that, and I'm going to tell you why. But
yeah, I don't like it either.
I want to back up. First of all, I would not say that where we are, it is a default 50-50. I would say that a lot of people ask for and start at a 50-50. So, you know, don't be shocked if your spouse, who maybe isn't very involved or hasn't been with the children, maybe they're the worker of the family, or maybe their job is more demanding, or maybe they just stink as a parent. Who knows, right? But don't be shocked when we start negotiating and their first proposal is, I'll take 50-50. And you're like, oh, wait, what? Like, you have not been around at all. And we have to kind of step back and think about, in every case, what I do with my clients is say, all right, hold on. Let's take a step back and figure out all the reasons as to why they may be asking for 50-50. So some of the reasons, the whys, we have to know the why in order to negotiate the time. So some of the reasons that I think that we see this happening is the parent says, listen, they're half my child or children as well. So I just deserve 50-50 by default. I mean, I'm the parent. Hello. So that's one reason. The second reason is, unfortunately, it's kind of a now more than ever a status symbol. You're kind of looked at negatively if you don't have 50-50 in some places. You kind of look like you just failed as a parent, or maybe you gave your kids up. Another reason is maybe they are a great parent and maybe they are super involved, and 50-50 is just something that they assume that they will have because they are a good parent. Or this is the thing that Andrea just brought up, or maybe they know, like in our jurisdiction, the more overnights they have, the less child support they may pay. Think about that. So we have a law in Illinois, in Chicago, where if you have a certain amount of overnights, it starts reducing the child support you may pay. I am not a fan of this law, but it does definitely drive a lot of these requests.
It's hard because I think what gets so tricky is that these parenting plans are supposed to be designed with the kids in mind. You're supposed to do what's best for the kids. However, that little caveat right there about the overnights meaning something makes it really challenging when you're like, okay, wait a minute. The whole 50-50 thing, it gets so tricky because it's like, okay, it's actually 50-50 when you're looking at how many, in our area, how many overnights you're having. Not really 50-50 when it comes down to just time or days. And I can say that that was an area where I had issues when I got divorced. I think that... Why don't we talk about a situation where, let's say, and the reason I think I said before that it's the default, because if two people don't agree, mm-hmm. right? If somebody says, I think that, let's just say dad should just do every other weekend because he has a crazy work schedule. I'm the one doing everything with the kids. I want them some weekends. Dad should do every other weekend and maybe Wednesday nights or Wednesday night dinner or something, right? And then dad fires back like, you're insane. There's no way I'm going to give up that much time with my kids. We should have 50-50. When that happens, Morgan, what goes on between the attorneys? Is it automatically like, well, 50-50 sounds more fair, or do they automatically get into the weeds with each other on what's best for the kids here?
So if you're talking about what attorneys talk about, we are going to look at a few things. One is the first thing I'm going to want to do, and I don't really know that I would say it out loud to maybe my opposing counsel, depending on who it is, but I want to know what the motivation is for 50-50. So if I've got somebody who really wasn't involved whatsoever, and then all of a sudden they're asking for 50-50, I'm going to be pressing opposing counsel as to why. You know, this mm-hmm. person really wasn't involved. And I may not even really tip our hat that much, because that's mm-hmm. one of the factors that a court or, you know, an attorney for the children would consider, because you're right. It is all about their best interests. So we need to consider, what have these people been doing before divorce land showed up? And I say divorce land, meaning like before everyone got their packs ready to fight in divorce. What was like the normal in your house? Who was putting the kids to bed? Who was taking them to doctor's appointments? What kind of work schedule did both of you have, or one of you have? Those are things that are so important. And that's when, if we're going to argue a little bit about what kind of parenting time one another has, that's one of the questions that I'm going to be asking my clients right away is, do you have a timeline or a rough timeline? Or can you kind of walk me through what a normal week looks like before divorce started?
So let's say that you're representing me, okay? And I say to you, I know that my soon-to-be ex is going to want 50-50. He's already told me that that's what he wants, and I don't want that. I don't want 50-50. I want the majority of the parenting time. What's the first thing you would have me do?
I would ask you to take me back. Take me back 6 months to a year. Take me back and walk me through what it kind of looks like. Walk me through the work schedules. Walk me through when he was, and I'm just saying he because this is your relationship that we're, you know, making up right now. A lot of times we're seeing gender roles reverse as well, whereas the woman is being the breadwinner these days, and we'll talk about that at some time. So it could be either way. But in this situation, I'd be saying to you, all right, when does he come home at night? Who is doing the majority of the duties for the kids? Who's packing their lunch? Who's driving them to school? Who is picking them up when they're sick during the day? Who's making the appointments at the doctors? Does he know your kids' birthdays? You would hope. Does he know their friends' names? Does he know the teachers' names? Does he have their contact information? So I'm asking these nitty-gritty questions to try to make a case for the fact that all of a sudden this guy comes out of the woodwork and says, I need 50-50. When it never was the standard before. Now, go ahead. You have a question.
Well, okay. I'm thinking about in the area where I live, we have a lot of dual income families, right? Both mom and dad work full time.
Yep.
And there's a nanny taking the kids where they need to go after school or, you know, or whatever. So what happens in that case where you can't really say that it's been mom or dad doing the majority of the schlepping kids to activities because the kids are getting rides or there's a nanny or there's someone else involved. Both parents care, obviously. Let's just say for the sake of argument, both parents care. Both parents know their kids' birthdays and their friends' names and all that stuff. But both parents have work schedules. Yeah. Like both parents are working full time.
Mm-hmm. That's the situation where everyone is unique and we build in that caretaker. So, you know, the reality is if we have two parents that are, you know, dual income households and both have schedules to meet and a nanny or a helper or whatever it is, or, you know, grandparent, we're going to build in that person into the parenting agreement. We negotiate nannies. We negotiate how they're going to use the nanny. I've even negotiated, you know, are they going to share a nanny? How long? Who's going to pay for it? How many hours does that have for the nanny that they're agreeing on? I've had cases where they can't agree to use the same nanny and they both get their own during their time. But the court is not going to look down upon two working parents who need to get their kids places and who have always used a nanny. That's going to be...
No, I would hope not.
No, that's going to be basically looked at equally because without that nanny, your kids are not getting to the places they need to go. So I would assume that most of the time, both parties are going to cooperate with keeping that person.
So now, what if we're looking at a situation where, let's say, dad works full time and mom, I'm just saying mom and dad. Obviously, we know that this could be a same-sex couple, you know, whatever, but
it's easier to say
mom and dad. Right. It's mom and dad. Let's say that mom has some questionable behavior, things that make dad feel really uncomfortable about, you know, having the kids be with mom full time. Now, we know because one of our sponsors of this show is SoberLink. So we know that there are certain tools in place to help make sure that it's safe for the kids during parenting time, but what do you do if you're in a situation where you're like, I don't feel comfortable? How do you, what's the best way to communicate that to your attorney? And what does that process look like?
That's a great question. So first of all, get in front of it fast. Don't wait. Don't sugarcoat. Don't hide it. You want to come out of the gate saying, I don't know what to do with this information, but I'm a little concerned. And here's why I'm concerned. And lay it out for the attorney. Lay it out in the first meeting. That doesn't mean that you can't say, I don't want to deal with that. I want to back off. I don't want to bring it up. There's a lot of times that clients tell me things and I say, you know, for instance, they're a drinker. They do drugs on the weekend. They have bad mental health, you know, illness that is affecting them. And they give me all of these this information, but then later they say, you know what? I've thought about it. I don't want you to say a word. I don't want to deal with this. And I say, okay. And we talk about the pros and cons of doing it or not. So if they give us information like that, what I'm going to be looking for and what they should have prepared is tell me what the problem is or what the problems are. But I want specific examples. I want specific examples and I want times. So it's really important to know, did this happen last weekend or did this happen last year? And those are really important details for us as lawyers to be able to give you a good strategy and to give you the ability to navigate whether it's going to matter in your overall parenting time division.
So listeners, that means that if you are in this situation, this is the time to start making notes. Make a journal. If there's an incident, something specific that happened that's making you feel really uncomfortable, you need to write down that date and time. On this day, this is what happened. Give the details so that your attorney can look over some real facts. Attorneys work off of facts, people. It's not just, I think this and I feel this. So, okay. You start with that. And then let's keep going with this because I know we do have a healthy amount of listeners who are in a situation where the stakes do feel really high. So let's say you've compiled your list of dates and times of incidents. What happens then? I mean, is it like, do the attorneys have a little conversation where it's like, hey, your client is on drugs and whack-a-doodle-do. And then that person's like, yeah, I know. But guess what? They want 50-50. What happens?
Well, it depends on who's on the other side, right? Because I get plenty of whack-a-doodle-do's on the other side as lawyers that I I'll tell the client, there's no way we're getting anything done with this person. We're going to have to go to court. But it all depends. It's case specific. And I hate giving that answer because I want to give our listeners direct, you know, answers all the time. But it's case specific of how we're going to deal with it. And what I mean by that is some information is better for me just to call opposing counsel and say, hey, you've got some big problems here. I think you may want to look into this. And there's no way we're agreeing to 50-50. You know, maybe we could, for creative purposes, we could do what's called a step-up schedule. Maybe we'll give parenting, you know, we'll work out parenting schedule. If it's going well, we'll be open to giving more time. That's one thing we can do. I know you want to talk about that, Andrea.
Yeah, that's that you just introduced something that I think you're going to have a lot of listeners be like, wait, what the fuck is a step up schedule? So why don't we go ahead and get into that? Because that's something new.
Sure. So during the parenting, when we're talking about parenting time, whether it's in the middle of the case, at the absolute end of the case, that kind of thing, sometimes we work out either temporary agreements because for some reason in the case, they can't agree to a full schedule. A lot of times we have that where either there's something going on, alcohol, drugs, mental illness, something has happened in the past recently. That would be maybe one reason why we would do something like a step-up schedule. The other reason could be, for instance, that the spouse has literally either been MIA or never taken care of the kids on their own. And we all know, and I'm not faulting anyone, God knows, you know, when I had children young, they're a lot of work. And if you are on your own with young kids, it is daunting. So sometimes we have clients say, I've got two babies at home, you know, that require bottles or one's, you know, walking and you're trying to not let them kill themselves every second. Two babies for a person who's never taken care of two babies for a full weekend is a lot of time. So what we may want to do there is put together a schedule that kind of eases them into the new parenting normal and see how it goes, and then come back to maybe mediation or court and say, hey, is this working or not? Could we expand or not? Those kind of things.
What are the typical parameters? Like, is a step-up schedule, like, is there a default? Meaning, is it usually start with like 3 months, 6 months?
No default. It's totally case specific. Okay. It's all, and remember, this is all, what I'm talking about is all by agreement. If you can't get an agreement, a judge will order what a parenting schedule will start or look like. But also, so let's talk about one overarching thing, which is trying to figure out the parenting schedule. And somebody's asking for 50-50 and the other person is saying, I am not on board with that. So we have a crossroads here. And we have to determine what road to take in the case at that point in time. So one road would be, okay, trying to work it out. And you do your best, whether it's in mediation or negotiations between attorneys and parties, trying to work it out. And if you're not happy, let's just say that you, Andrea, are the one that's absolutely steadfast. I will not agree to what they're asking for, 50-50. I'll go to the end of the earth before I agree to that. So then as a lawyer, I'm going to give you option two, road two. Okay, Andrea, that's fine. That is your decision. Here are the pros and the cons of taking the position based upon your facts. Like, let's just say they're a drinker or they do drugs or, you know, they're a bad parent. But I'm going to tell you that the court is probably going to appoint an attorney for your children next to help try to figure out what's in the best interest. And then it's likely going to be more expensive and potentially some fights in court with the assistance of an attorney for the children.
Some which people, is a totally different topic, I should just say, in case there's somebody listening that's like, whoa, 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 attorney for the children. That's a whole other ball of wax that we're going to get into in another episode, just FYI.
So what I'm saying, though, is there are different roads to take in negotiating a parenting agreement. So if you don't have to stop at road one, if you are absolutely steadfast that you just don't feel comfortable agreeing, but you need to know what road two or maybe even road three looks like, what they come with, pros and cons, and maybe costs. And that's something that you want to talk to your attorney about.
If somebody is in the position, which I know doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough, where immediately, maybe even prior to somebody filing for a divorce because of unhealthy habits in the house, abuse, whatever, they have to move out immediately. Would that be a situation where you could request that a step-up plan or a temporary plan be in place? Because obviously, if you have to move out immediately, you need an immediate parenting plan. Now, I would assume that a lot of the time, if you're leaving because of abuse, you might not feel so comfortable having your children with your soon-to-be ex-spouse. I don't know. But what happens in those situations?
That's a good question. And I think that it depends on which route you go during that situation. So we always like to have a parenting schedule ideally in place before people are moving out. I realize that in certain situations that might not always be an option for people, but you know, that's when we might want to talk about an order of protection, a protective order, those kind of things. And that also, usually, at least where we are, deals with children in the short term. So if you do have an order of protection, it might deal with where the children go, how they see the other parent. This is really in cases of real abusive relationships. So that's something that if that's you and you're like, that's exactly, you know, what I'm hearing and that's what's happening in my house, that is something you want to talk to your lawyer about something like an order of protection, what that looks like. The last thing I want to see people doing is just up and moving out away from your children, without your children. And if you up and move out with your children without talking to a lawyer, you can best bet that you will be in court and the judge will be very upset with you. So I do not recommend that you do that either.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of things to consider when you are in this position. Obviously, your safety and your children's safety come first. If you do find yourself in that situation, just immediately contact your counsel would be, I think, the best thing to do, because we all know that you can plan as much as you want. And unfortunately, one of the things about the only thing that is predictable about abuse is that it's unpredictable, right? So you never know if something can happen. So if you are in that situation and you have to go and the kids come with you, immediately go to your attorney and make sure that you're doing everything right. Okay, well, let's talk about when people start, I know this is like so obnoxious, but when you're talking to people about the fact that you're going through a divorce, everyone's asking you like, oh, what's your parenting plan going to be? Are you going to do 2-2-3?
Is that what they say?
2-2-5? Are you doing, oh yeah, people start speaking in like numbers and fractions. Yeah. And I'm like, what? And I have to say, like, when I went through this, I had no fucking idea what people were talking about. They just started speaking to me in like numbers and hieroglyphics. And I'm like, what? So why don't we talk about some of the different options that are more common than others? And I want to also give people some more creative things that you can do, because the parenting schedule can be so daunting.
Yeah. So what I always suggest that you do is print out a few weeks of a calendar, and so that you can kind of see. I'm a visual person. I always do this with my clients. I think it's really hard when I'm just talking on a podcast to figure out exactly what I'm saying without looking at it. But the most, and the funny thing is all these numbers that people call these different schedules, which makes me laugh, because at times that, you know, basically at times different jurisdictions call the same schedule something different with numbers, which is pretty funny. So, you know, overall just hysterical. So anyway, so when we talk about a 2-2-5 schedule, that's a 50-50, at least where we are. Sometimes people call it a 2-2-3 or a 2-2-5. Those are really, it's a straight 50-50 schedule. And in my mind, that's my most preferred 50-50 schedule. And the reasoning is because the days are always solid, meaning you always know every week and your kids know every week what days you're going to have with them. So for instance, what that would look like is maybe mom has every Monday, Tuesday night overnight to Wednesday morning. And then dad would have every Wednesday, Thursday night overnight to Friday morning. And then they would flip-flop the weekends. So that is really a straight, easy 50-50 schedule. And you will hear that called either a 2-2-5 or a 2-2-3 kind of a schedule. And so what I would suggest, if you're trying to, you're like, what the hell is Morgan talking about right now? Print out a calendar and actually write mom, dad, mom, mom, mom one, mom two, whatever it is in your situation, write it out on a 2-week schedule or even do a full month so you can actually kind of map it out in your mind if you want to see what a 50-50 schedule looks like, at least this 50-50. And remember, you can get creative. There are other 50-50 schedules. There's week on, week off. Not my preferred schedule by any means. Not the judge's, at least where I am, preferred schedule. But have I seen it? Yeah, I have seen that.
I think that tends to work better like when children are older. I have seen actually some people switch to week on, week off once the kids become teenagers, because for whatever reason, that just works better. Another one that is popular is where there aren't set days. So it would be 2 days mom, 2 days dad. And that, you know, and it just kind of goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, it's like a kind of like what works for your family. I will say that what I feel is good if you are going to do the more traditional, let's say Monday, Tuesday mom, Wednesday, Thursday night dad, Friday, Saturday, Sunday mom or dad, flip-flop. I like, if it's not your weekend, to have some built-in time over the other parent's weekend to spend time with the kids, if that works out. The reason being, going for 5 days without seeing your kids is a long time for your children to not see mom or dad, especially if they're really little. And I'll say personally, and I talk about this all the time, that's something that I do. So, and it's something that both their dad and I agreed on. Let's build in this time. Now, other people will say, well, isn't that a pain in the butt? For us, no. It's just something that works for us because it was a priority that we both had time with those kids. So I know every Saturday morning, whether it's my parenting weekend or not, I have the kids. Every Sunday, he has the kids. Mm-hmm. So it's, and again, this is something that the kids are still little in our situation, so that works out. As the kids age up and they've got more extracurricular activities and create, you know, more things going on, that might not happen. You have to be flexible
right
with this. And you also have to keep in mind, I mean, we all love our kids. We all want to be with our kids all the time. But this is not for us or about us. This is about them. And it's really what's going to serve them and support them.
And I think it's important to remember, you know, Andrea, your parenting schedule is super unique to you. I will tell you that 90% of my clients, it doesn't work for them. It's not a good mm-hmm. schedule for them and their family. For many different reasons, but for you, it works. That's why you need a lawyer that will come up with creative ideas and solutions to make it work for you and your case. And one thing I want our listeners to know too is, and sometimes they forget about this, or maybe it's not told to them, is for whatever schedule you come up with, remember your kids will get older. They, like Andrea said, they will have activities. They will probably be very busy. And you will be permitted, whether it's your time or not, to attend those activities so long as they're out in the open. Which, and I say that because I actually had this case happen, and I have to tell a funny story, which is we kept having this issue is my client that would not listen. They, my client believed that because there was a piano lesson, she was able to attend. So she kept showing up at husband's house and like banging down the door during his parenting time, during the piano lesson that he was paying for and had set up in his own house. And I kept saying to her, you're not welcome into his house. If it was a soccer match on the soccer field, yes, you're welcome there. But they could, this, my client could not wrap her head around that. Just, you know. Mm-hmm. So you get, you know that if it's a game or something where you can attend, attend. I always call it more touch points. And that's a touch point that you can have with your children that may not be your parenting time.
Right. Just know, though, that in some situations, if the kids are really young and you are going to that soccer game and then I'm trying to think of a kid name that's popular.
Johnny.
Right now. I don't know. What?
Johnny.
Johnny. Oh, whose kid named Johnny?
I don't know. Days? It's like 1950s. Okay.
Exactly. Little Johnny. Let's say Johnny is having some separation issues or whatever, and Johnny sees mommy, and it's daddy's parenting day, but mommy came to soccer practice because it's out in the open. And the next thing you know, Johnny's in tears and doesn't want mommy to leave and doesn't want to go back to daddy's house. He wants to be with mommy. Just know that that could be an issue. And then that whole going to soccer practice might be something that needs to be revisited. And as much as that sucks for mom, because you want so badly to be able to see Johnny not kick the ball, it might not be something that works out. And that's just, you know, something that you need to keep in mind through all of this.
Well, I want to make one more comment, which is what you made, but you kind of like glazed over it fast.
Uh-oh.
And no, you made a great comment, which is, remember, the parenting agreement is not about you. It really isn't. It's so easy in all of the emotions to just put yourself first and your needs, because of course we want to be with our children. Of course we think we're a decent parent. I mean, I think we all know that we're not 100% on, you know, point at all, but we try our best. You know, Okay, I am certainly not an A+ mother, but I try my best. So,
oh my God, I suck lately.
Right.
So,
you know, we try our best. But what I'm saying is it's so easy to put yourself first and say, well, this is what I want. This is what I think they need. And at the end of the day, you really have to take a step back and say, what's in their best interests and why? And just take like a really 50-foot overview of it.
I thought that you were going to say that I glazed over Johnny's like shitty soccer skills. I thought you were going to be like, you know what? Let's go back to that. Johnny can't play soccer. Save a dick. Don't go. Nobody cares. There's something else that I think it's important to mention, and it's another unpopular opinion. When you have this parenting time, you will often have in a parenting agreement that, especially if the kids are young and they don't have their own cell phones, that you other parent can call the kids during this time, right, to say, hey, how was your day at school, blah, 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 like check in, which is great. It's important. We all want to see our kids' faces and hear about their day. And there are going to be days where your kids don't want to talk to you. And that doesn't, it's not in a personal attack. It's just that, think about it. How often would do your kids want to talk to other people? And it's hard for them to also switch gears. And don't push something unless it's like absolutely worth it. I know, and I can say, like, when I first got divorced, if I didn't get to talk to my kids on a night when I was supposed to, it was like, hell hath no fury. Like, you motherfucker, you didn't let me talk to these kids. I need to talk to my kids. And now I'll say straight up, I didn't talk to my kids tonight, and that's fine. That's really fine.
What do you think?
They're fine. You know, I think that it's a matter of, I saw the stress of what my kids can go through on the other side, you know, where it's like, you got to talk to them. You got to talk to them. They're calling again. Mm-hmm. And you can see that the kids are like, fuck, I have nothing to say.
I know.
You know, how was your day? Fine. What did you eat? Food. What did you do? Nothing. What did you learn at school? Nothing. It could be uncomfortable for them. And then other times you talk to your kids. And like, again, I've said this 90,000 times, my kids are still little. So I'm looking at like up their nose, or they drop the phone and I'm hearing them say, where's that phone? You know, it's like, you don't get that much out of it.
No.
All the time. Now, obviously, like, I'm not going to go for days and days and days.
Right.
But a day here and there. Mm-hmm. Just know it's going to be okay. And as much as attorneys want everything in a divorce to be like signed, sealed, delivered, this is a black and white issue, this is now resolved, that's not the way life works. With kids, it's 50 shades of gray minus all the sex. Like, you don't really know what's going to happen. You also have to know, like, with any of these parenting plans and custody schedules, we're talking about children, not cattle. So everyone needs to just take a breath and realize it is not in your kids' best interest to start viewing them as property. We really have to be mindful here, which is why when we first started our podcast, I think it was actually in our second season, we did a whole episode about the parenting agreement, and we spoke at length about how advantageous it is to have a therapist look over your agreement. Yep. So,
yeah, that's so true. I agree with you 100% on what you're saying about the FaceTime or the calling or whatever. I mean, and I'm sure you felt it too, Andrea, because a lot of times we as lawyers trying to solve for everything, write these agreements and we put in there, okay, you know, we do reasonable FaceTime calls per day when you don't have the kids with the other parent. Okay, that makes sense. And then if that's never happening, I have a lot of cases where they're always fighting that they never get to talk to the kid or the children. And then I go back to court and I fight about it. And then we figure out, okay, well, now you have to call every night at 7 o'clock and you get 15 minutes, et cetera. But I'm sure you've seen it. You already mentioned that they feel stress. I mean, mm-hmm. How stressed do you feel too if they're not engaging with your ex and you're trying to like get them to engage and do this dog and pony show, and you're like, they're just like, everyone's stressed.
Right. And that's exactly what I lived. So I learned I have to lead by example. If I don't want my kids to have to go through this mishigas when they're with me, then I need to not put them on the spot when they're with him.
Yep.
Right. So you kind of just like, you got to just back off and know, like, it's going to be fine. Something else that kind of helps is if you have friends with other parents at your kid's school, sometimes you can just learn a lot about what went on in the day by talking to them. I can't tell you how often I'll have another mom at my kid's school send me a message saying, "Hey, I know it's not your parenting day, but I want to let you know I was a mom on a field trip today and so-and-so did this and it was so funny and I just thought you'd want to know." That kind of stuff makes my day because it helps me feel like I'm still engaged and I'm in the know. So you're going to find little things that help you. One thing I wanted to ask you, because there's all of these phrases that get thrown into parenting plans or you hear about when you're dealing with custody. And one of them is right of first refusal.
Yeah.
Let's tell everybody about what that means.
So that basically is a term that we try to build into custody agreements that talks about what happens when, let's just put you back in, Andrea, your mom, and we have dad. What happens when mom has the kids and decides that she's going to go out for the night? Now, can okay. she just call a sitter? Can she call grandma? Can she drop off the kids with the neighbors? Or does she have to call dad and say, "Hey, I'm going to be going out for this time. Would you like to step in first and take care of the children before I call the sitter, the neighbor, grandma, etc.?" That's the right of first refusal. And really, no one has a problem generally with right of first refusal overall, very rarely. It all comes down to the timing. What is the right time of first refusal? And I get a lot of parents, especially parents who are struggling with in their mind, letting their children go to the other side for periods of time. And they really want a short period of right of first refusal. They want 4 hours. And I always, one, caution them, that's way too short of a time. And I really say to them, let's think this through. How many hours in the day does it take you if you need to run all your errands? You need to go to the grocery store. You maybe, you know, haven't worked out in a week. You're going to go for a run. You need to pick up the dry cleaning. You need to do like a Target run or get some toiletries. I mean, how many hours is that? And then, oh, you haven't eaten lunch. Grab some lunch. Now you're up against the 4 hour mark and you didn't call the other side. And so now you could be in a problem. And so we want it to go both ways and fit your lifestyle. And so that's why we have a lot of discussions around what the right amount of time right of first refusal is.
Mm-hmm. I feel like what I've heard all often, and I feel like this might even be mine, where it's like an overnight.
Yes.
Especially if you're in a situation where both parties are already using, you know, a nanny or a sitter consistently. I'll tell you, like, I mean, full transparency, there are times where I know that the father of my kids uses our old nanny rather than, you know, having me come and watch the kids. And at first it irked me. And then I realized it's fine because as much as it sucks for me, it's not a mommy day. And it's better for the kids to have that consistency to know that if it's a Wednesday, which is not going to be my parenting day, and dad's got to go do this or that, they need to go and be with somebody else or else. Especially when the kids are young, it can just get confusing and hard. And as much as that just sucks, sometimes it really does come down to what makes the most amount of sense for these kids.
I love
as crazy as that sounds,
yeah,
right? Because it could be a day, but it could be a day where you're like, I'm doing nothing. I have every ability to be with my own children who came out of my body.
Yeah.
But yet a few miles away, they're with somebody else who's being paid. It makes no sense on so many levels. And then at the same time, you have to just exhale and say, okay.
Yeah.
This does make more sense.
One thing you really have to consider when you're putting together a parenting schedule, of course you want as much time as possible. And Andrea is really laying it up for me tonight, meaning she is really thoughtful in this parenting schedule. And the reason is, and I'll just go a step further, that I always say as a divorce lawyer, especially with younger children, the least amount of transitions, the better. So what she is saying is she's avoiding yet one more transition with the kids to come to her house, spend some time with her, and then probably flip back around when dad's available to go back to his house. Yes, she wins because she gets to spend time with the kids. But at the end of the day, at what cost? You know, you pick them back up, you drop them back off. and now they're confused at whose day it is. So you have to weigh all of those things. And the research has shown that, and this is why I don't love flip-flopping days back and forth, back and forth. I like set days because the research has shown that when the children know where they're going to be and they have a schedule that's solid, that doesn't flip-flop around, they are much more stable and calm. And so it's something to really think about when you're putting your calendar together. Because again, if you're putting yourself first, what's best for you? Well, flip-flopping around. You don't care. You're an adult. You know what day it is. You know where you're going. And transitions don't matter for you, but they sure do for kids.
It does matter for you too, I will say. Like it does help you at a certain point to have that consistency as well, because then you know these are days when I'm with the kids, these are days when I'm not with the kids. I think that for some people, obviously, if you are in a high conflict situation, the few times that you shift the kids around, the better. Now, I know of some divorced couples where things are really amicable and they are sometimes able to do something more flexible. Now, you're still going to have a parenting plan that's put into place just like when you get divorced, but some people are able to deviate from that and shift things around. And maybe it's, hey, dad is going to take Johnny to soccer, who still sucks at soccer, while mom is going to take Allison to, you know, jujitsu, right?
Yep.
And even though it's dad's day, mom can jump in and whatever. And in those situations, that to me is just so beautiful.
It
amazing.
Is.
Parents are working together. We are getting stuff done. So just know that maybe not immediately for you, but at some point down the road, I think that that is a great goal to have, that maybe at some point you'll be able to get to that point once everyone calms down and puts their swords down, where you will be able to, you know, jump in. I'll say, again, full transparency, I'm now at the point with the father and my kids where we're like, okay, so I have two kids. We need to separate them sometimes, because one of the hard things about divorce is that these kids who used to be two separate individuals are now always lumped together and they have to go everywhere together, which probably sucks for them. So now we're like, okay, we probably need to do some one-on-one time, which means that you're changing up the schedule a little bit. You have to get to a point in your process where you're able to start doing that. But so there are things to think about and consider. And again, like everything else, this all roads lead back to having the right representation for you who can help you walk through your situation, be creative, be strategic, know obviously the law, that always helps, but know opposing counsel, how this person works, what you know, how do we get a negotiation here? And if a negotiation is not possible, then what do we do if this matter goes before a judge?
Right. Yep, agree. And I want to recap a few things for you.
Yeah,
because
perfect.
We're really talking about, you know, when somebody asks for a 50-50 schedule, what to do. And so the first thing I want everybody to do, especially if you're shocked by it, is just take a deep breath. You don't need to make any decisions right then and there. Second thing I want you to do is, if it's not going to work for you at all, I want you to think about why. And I want you to think about making a timeline for your attorney and getting in front of any really problematic things in your head about the other parent that maybe would not make them the best candidate for a 50-50. So I want you to really think about that and get in front of it. And then take your attorney's lead. Ask them the right questions. Don't be surprised by it, because you should be asking what to anticipate in your jurisdiction. What's normal? What do you think could happen? Where do you think we go from here? And what does the roadmap look like? So baby steps on this. You don't have to rush. Let's get it right. That's what I want everybody to do. Let's get it right, whatever works for you and your family.
If you are in a situation where things feel a little bit out of the ordinary, make notes. Take notes, present your attorney with facts to go off of, and just know that you're going to have to be flexible. And I mean, you're you've probably heard this so many times already, but in a divorce, everybody loses something. So you got to go into this knowing you're not going to get exactly what you want. And as nauseating as that sounds when it has to do with your children, it's still important to know, okay, you're not going to get what you want. We did not even broach the land of sole custody. I think that that's a conversation for another time because it's obviously not as common. But know that we are going to give you guys a dedicated episode on that and what that looks like. Also, into getting into the land of custody evaluations, which is a whole other ball of wax. But this is what happens more often than not. And we just wanted to give you a bit of a roadmap and some action steps. So again, the steps are make sure that you are communicating your wants to your attorney and have your wants backed up by facts. And then know that there's a process to all of this stuff working out. It's not a matter of, oh, you want to do this? Okay, let me go send that email and we'll get that filed. Everybody has to agree. If you don't agree, you're going into mediation. There's all these steps that occur before something goes before a judge.
Yes, I agree.
Which with everything else, you don't want this to go before a judge. A judge doesn't want this to go before a judge. You want to be a part of making the decisions for what's best for your family and your kids, not somebody who's never met you or your children.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But you also need to know what happens if you can't get to a deal. So just know your pros and your cons, your risks, etc. And you will be fine. You will get through this. It will be a little bumpy at first. It probably sounds like a foreign language to you when I'm talking about calendars and things like that. And if you still are sitting here and you're saying, I have no idea what she's talking about, ask your lawyer to write it out for you. Show you a schedule on a calendar. That will be the best way to start wrapping your head around what something could look like, or maybe it could work for you.
Yep. And you know what, friends? If you haven't yet joined our private community, make sure that you go to the link in our show note to join that, because I think what we'll do is we'll give you guys some more support soon about parenting plans and agreements. I think we'll do something where Morgan and I will jump in there and give you guys some more specific examples. So if you feel like your head is spinning from all of this, make sure you go and join that group. You can also always ask questions in there. We are there to give you as much insight as we possibly can.
That's right. And remember, divorce is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Some days are going to be okay, and other days are going to really suck. And that's normal for what you're going through. But for those sucky days, remember, we're here for you.
That's right. Those days might suck as bad as Johnny sucks at soccer, which you got to pull him out. He's not good. He's not good. He never kicks the ball. It's a waste of time. Get him out. But listen, guys, you can do this. As much as you feel like you can't do this, I want you to hear my words. You can and you will. You are going to find yourself on the other side. I promise you. And in the meantime, listen to this show. Please, this is exactly why we do this show. Tell your friends about our show. Hey, and if you feel so inclined, rate and review the show, because we would absolutely love that. And it helps us continue to bring you the most important content and the best guests we absolutely can.
I agree with that. And if you like our show, please rate and review us. It means the world to us, and that makes us continue.
We literally just said that again. One more time, rate and review. We can't stress it enough.
Please, for Johnny's sake, just
read. It's for Johnny's sake. I think this is a sign that we're still tired and maybe we are still sick.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So one more time, guys. Go rate and review us.
For Johnny.
For Johnny.
Remember that. Oh, remember, when you're having the crappiest day ever, you've got this and we've got you.